Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 281, episode 1 of Dirtily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's Monday, March 27th, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. We go to a party with everyone arguing. Our beautiful friend group is walking right towards me, and then they ask me, do you want to fight? And I say yes, we're all very horny tonight. That is courtesy of Lockeroni on the Discord in reference to Miles. Did you miss all the whole like New York magazine article about new rules for etiquette? And there were like a couple good ones, but one of them was just don't use your friends as foreplay. I'm just going to read it word for word. It's one paragraph, but it doesn't make, if as a couple, you start an argument in the middle of a group of friends, that group of friends may start looking a lot like potential allies. Resist that urge. Do not attempt to shore up support. Do not ask if you are clearly in the right. Continue debating with your significant other if you must, but leave the others out of it. Your addiction to argument isn't everyone else's kink. So it's just an interpretation of people having arguments around their friends as like some horny like group sex invitation.
No, no. That person has not been to therapy. That is a total breakdown in communication skills in which the other people are trying to find outside like third party opinions to whether or not they're right. Guys, they're not horny.
They're trying to get everyone horned up. Get everyone involved in their weird kink fetish.
Dude, the way that he's like, apparently he forgot to pay the electric bill 2 months in a row. I was like, my dick was about to blow off. God. I was so horny when I heard how fucking irresponsible he is. I love that they do that. Yeah.
Well, I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Speaking of blowing out. Blow out! Blow out! Blow out! Oh, not again, shorty! Went plop splat, me and my dukes, we gotta mop that. Wet wipes plenty, we done cop that. So much dookie, you can't stop. Now where'd you get them dirty drawers with the doo-doo in it? With the smell that so offends like the devil done shit it. Okay, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, for that ludicrous rollout, blowout inspired AKA. Oh, man. And who them girls do you win? Anyway, Blowout. Anyway, talking about those diapers and true to form, the Geist Child. Woo!
Yeah.
Fucking was like, he's like, hey, man, I want you to have to talk about something when you get on give mic. You,
hey, Dad, here's something for you to talk about.
Not a full
podcast.
Blowout, but like the kind where you knew the vibrations were so intense that you're like, this is ruined. This diaper has been ruined. So
we
anyway.
Have to rush to a dark room right now. Right
Shout
away.
Out. I also heard Waffle House, that account got. So now you got your burner, your other account.
One
already
of the
had
best
like 100,000
followers.
I'm like, bro, I leave for 2 seconds and he already out here, you know, doing the Lord's work with all these
One
followers.
Of the best follows on Twitter, though. So if you're following him at Waffle House, go find him.
Well,
elsewhere.
Now it's I think it was shit it for the DT, right? I think that's what it is.
Right.
SHIDT.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have it. I knew at how the to end. Read It'll be my media that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, it's OSHIDT. Okay.
There
Look,
it is.
Just build the community service announcement.
Well, Shout speaking you, really. You guys, it's a banger. Just Miles' second episode back, but we thought he was ready. We had to do it to him. We had to do it to them. We're thrilled to be joined by the Cold Brew Kraken, as Woo! Producer Justin, you know, as we were letting him into the chat, he was like, unleash the Kraken, unleash the Cold Brew
the
Kraken.
Cold Brew Kraken.
Mr.
Yes.
Cold Brew got me like the advice king. The poetry window is open because it's Chris motherfucking Crofton!
Chris! Hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
Thank What's you so up, much, man? Jack. Thank you for that. That's like, you know, when you see a stand up and they play like Enter Sandman or something, and then, you know, they're coming on stage and then it goes away and everybody's like, oh yeah, it's a comedy show.
It is that there is that moment. I know exactly what you're talking about, where like the song comes on, you feel like you're at a baseball game because you're like, oh, here comes the bat.
Oh yeah.
And then you got like the music fades down. You're like, all right, y'all, how you guys doing tonight? How you guys doing tonight? All right, you guys on some dates tonight? And you're like, fuck. Just like,
what do you do, sir?
Yeah.
Fuck. God.
Whoa. What do you do, sir?
Hey, this what about opening? You, long hair? What's up? With the Grateful Dead in town? Come on.
Hey,
all right.
Come
all
on. Right. Hey. Am I right? Come on.
Like, he was going hard with that AC/DC before he came in.
That's how it felt. That's how it felt. That was such a good introduction.
Well,
that was incredible fucking rap by Miles there.
Yeah,
I felt like I was at a show.
Yeah, all I can talk about now is feces and breast milk. So
I wanted that show to go on. I wanted to hear the rest of that song.
Man, I was actually opening for another comedian. That's what that song was going to go into. Chris Crofton coming to the stage. Bob, 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 Bob.
Yeah. Hey guys, you sick of Republicans or what?
You're dancing to Ludacris's Roll Out.
Republicans. Man. I feel like they don't got a brain in their head.
You guys heard about Mitch McConnell?
Yeah.
God damn it. That song was better. Put back
that
on.
Looks like a lizard. He like gets the thing wrong instead of turtle. He goes, turtle. He doesn't even have the.
He's like an iguana, huh?
Oh, man. I wish we were listening to Informer still.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Crofton, Informer.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, this is going to rule. So I grew up in Connecticut.
You guys ever been to Connecticut?
You heard of the Vanderbilt Press? Okay.
First of all, you can get my book at a website. Hold on, I have it written down.
No, plug it's the book W-W-W. After the set. Plug it after the set.
www. Hold on a second.
Open up with some plugs.
I'm going to open with some plugs real quick. Shout out to the DJ for playing.
What else do I have? What else do I have?
What else?
That's a good opener.
What else?
Let me find my phone here.
First word. Yeah, first words. Or what else?
Oh, first boy. Word, what else?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's a strong. He went like with fucking a first word, what else?
He went a what else opener.
Flashbacks to 2014 Los Angeles. Me showing up age 40 fucking. God damn. And age 40 fucking goddamn. And you know, just entering, you know, Nashville legend, showing up to start all over at open mics in Los Angeles at age 45. And I'm like, what is everybody treating me like such a weirdo for? You know? Why are these 22-year-olds fucking being such dicks?
That's
like
LA.
They're God, I can't believe
LA,
they're not.
Why are these 22-year-olds
being such
dicks?
Imagine how old I must have looked to them. You know how old a 45-year-old is when you're 22?
Oh, yeah.
It's like being dead or 100.
Although,
I remember when I was 22, everyone over the age of 30 seemed like the same amount of old to me.
Oh, yeah,
Like, it was like 30 to 60 was just old. And then,
I remember like I remember doing drugs with someone that was in their 40s and I couldn't believe that they did. Like, I was like, yo, you party? I'm like, you're 40, though. They're like, yeah, dude, my life's been fucked up for longer than you've been alive. And I was like, oh, OK, cool.
Oh, no. Got real dark on it. Yeah. Real grizzled.
I was like, all right,
if you're still doing drugs with 20 year olds in your 40s, it's coming from a dark place, presumably.
Yeah, my
life's been fucked up since before you were shitting in diapers, kid.
Oh,
yeah, I was doing that in 2000. I was doing that in 2011.
There you go.
Then I got my shit together and went straight to open mics.
There it is.
He's
back.
All right, Chris, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we probably won't end up talking about today, but we could if we wanted to. France is on fire.
We wanted to.
Because they have a protest culture and they have a fucked up president who did some fucked up shit and they can do shit about that.
So they burn it down.
They burn it down. So we'll talk about that, why we're jealous. We'll talk about Melania, what she's been up to.
Yeah.
You know, Barron, Miles is going to keep with his push to get Barron to start hooping.
He's growing so big, I'm freaked out. Like, every photo, it's like, oh, he's his mom's height. Oh, he's Donald Trump's height. Oh, he's taller than Donald Trump. Oh, he's seeing eye to eye with John Sally.
Oh, he's taller than the White House Christmas tree.
He's going to end up being too big for basketball.
I know, right? He's like a Roald Dahl character about the little boy who grew too big or something.
He's at least half Slovenian, Luka Doncic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's there. So, look, if we got to see him in the league, let's see.
He doesn't look agile. To me, he does not look agile.
Yeah. Well, he's
barren.
Well, look, I know. Whenever you're dressed, though, like Donald Trump, you will not. There's no way to look at. Like, even if you were fucking Usain Bolt in, like, that pink tie and, like, black suit, you'd be like, I think that guy has mobility issues.
He looks like a serial traveler to me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Briefcase.
You have to dribble.
Right. Oh, it's a traveler in them.
He's like, that Euro step is kind of flagrant, man. The fuck is that?
Hello,
don't call this anymore, but you just traveled.
Through like a bullhorn, through like a bullhorn up to a building. Barron! You have to dribble!
We might be talking about Twitter's blue checkmark bullshit. The regular blue checkmarks are going to be canceled on April 1st.
What'd they do? What'd they say?
Regular blue check marks are problematic as fuck.
Yeah, I got it.
But before we get to any of that, Chris.
They're taken away. Great.
What's something from your search history?
Well, I first of all, I think the blue check, oh God, I want, those are all good topics. And I have like, I'm going to, you know, because I'm a new kind of person, you know, since I've been a co-host, you know, I'm much calmer now and everything.
25% so more professional.
My topic, way less funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because... Well, you sent me that document that said what the hosts are supposed to be, and you said it a lot less funny.
Yeah, so, a lot of people don't know that anytime the co-host is speaking, I'm making the wrap it up gesture in my Zoom window to them.
I might as well tell the audience what happened. What happened was I was a co-host on the show last time.
Yeah, a couple weeks back.
Not long ago with Blair Saki was the guest. So go check it out.
Yeah, amazing episode.
It was really fun.
A class triumvirate.
Absolutely great. I just said by mistake before we started, I was saying, oh, I've been worried about this. I've been worried about being a host because I got to change the way I am. I have to be like, what I meant to say was I need to be 75% more professional. But instead I said, I meant like calm down. And I said, I have to be 75% less funny.
Yeah.
What I meant was just calmer, but you know, it came out wrong. And then Jack, like his Zoom window went off and like, crashing and stuff. Anyway,
he was yelling at you with a hot mic on.
Yeah. And the iHeartRadio stock went way down and everything. And
fucking crap.
There's alarm bells going off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just meant 25% more professional.
Oh, man. I made so much money, though, a couple weeks ago, and that the stock price dipped.
Oh, you shorted it?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I knew you were on. I was like, watch this. Watch this, Geist Child. You're paying for your college right here off this.
You're betting against your own company when I'm on the show. I like that.
Hey, you got any good American, you got to bet against your own company.
We got to short the Crofton episode.
Yeah, got
to. He texted me, is it Super Bowl Sunday? And I was like, what is Miles talking about? He was like, because I just bought the dip so hard. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even know what he was talking about. But now he has three Lambos.
Oh, shit.
So here's what I've got for you today is this is a thing that I just found out about yesterday, and I put it up on my Instagram as a cold brew got me. Like, someone sent it to me, and it's some guy named I think his name is Cedric Lorenzen. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this guy?
No.
He like has sex with, well, he doesn't actually have sex with food, but he's like he's like a porno chef. Okay. Like on Instagram, he has 1.9 million followers.
Okay.
And he makes like 1980s desserts.
Right.
That look like they would have served it like Spago, you know, to like Jack Nicholson and Rebecca Broussard in like 1986. He's like, he basically like, you know, he's always sucking on his fingers and he has no shirt on, or he's wearing like a really crisp white Oxford and he's like squeezing, tomatoes all over his chest and stuff.
Like creme fraiche out of
his nipples. He's like straight up fingering like cantaloupes and stuff.
Yeah.
He has 1.9 million followers.
He was like Salt Bae, but I can do that better. He saw what Salt Bae was doing and was like, I'll make it funnier.
Salt the Bae. Dude that goes like this with the salt, on his thing, and he has like a slick back ponytail.
I don't
with
know
glasses.
About that.
He's the most infuriating person.
Fucking hell, man! We got to bring back regular jobs,
dude. This one video of him—we
got to
licking...
get manufacturing back in this country. This is ridiculous. This man is dipping his ponytail in creme fraiche.
This guy's licking the beer foam in grotesque way. I'm like, okay. It reminds me of. Like, to be funny, like, when I was a kid, I remember seeing beer foam, and I was like, oh, I want that part of the beer. I remember seeing, like, someone pour a beer, and you want to drink beer foam. And I understand the fascination of beer foam, but this guy is going to the next level by burying his face into the beer foam. Like, why is he tucking in his pants?
Oh, my God, he's about to slap. I've seen this one. He's about to slap, and, yeah, he's,
like,
wiggling.
His meat.
It's like a pork
belly. Did you see the way he dipped that pork belly? Oh, okay. He's putting the carrot through his fingers like it was.
He fucking molests a raw chicken. He fucking has a raw chicken in one of these things, and he slaps it around and like.
Oh, I've seen this guy.
Now, ass.
Oh, wait. Why do you have to spit the fucking beer out? Like,
you got to look at the one. Okay, the one where he makes this drink. Like, he's like, it's. Let's see. If you're looking at this,
Oh my god, what is this one where he's fingering a grapefruit?
Okay, that's a whole. That's just him straight up fucking pretending that fruit is vaginas and like sticking his finger in them and. And people love it. I mean, like, there are women who are in the comments like, holy fuck, I can't go to work now because my pants fell off or whatever. And then there's other people who are like, other women who are like, fucking fuck this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Really fuck this. Like, women are like, either like,
hey,
hell
fuck
yes.
You. Do you have an OnlyFans? I can watch you fuck this?
It's like totally, yeah. Oh, that's, I didn't even think of that. He can be like, yeah, behind the paywall. He can be like, you should see what I do.
Oh, yeah. This man is making so much money.
See
off
what
OnlyFans.
I do to this coconut behind the paywall. What I like about it is how conflicted the audience is, because it's really just like 9.5 weeks kind of thing, like the aesthetic, the way it's lit and everything. It's like 8 weeks kind of like, and the desserts look like shit. They look like something you get at a restaurant, like a fusion restaurant in 1987. And he's so obviously cocky, and he looks like sometimes he just puts up pictures of himself walking around, you know. And he just looks like your average, you know, nightmare bro, you know, aspiring influencer guy. And women love that. Some women are like, yeah, I want that creep.
Here he is wearing a sweatshirt that says, real men make you nut first.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, he has a sweatshirt that says that. And
so
then
we gotta
latest
bring back,
blog post is Bon Appetit, baby.
We need to bring back manufacturing jobs.
This is
I volunteer to be the fruit. I identify as fruit now.
Yeah. It's a smart insight, because I think, like, we're losing all the sex in our movies. There's only, like... so this fool is...
He finger blasted this coconut.
Oh, that's the worst one.
It's a fucking scene.
Here it comes. Here it comes. No, it's gonna go. Right there. Yeah. That's when he was like, is that too far?
Oh, my God.
I'll just do it quick.
Whatever. Get in where you fit in.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a big market there. Because it's only like porn and then sexless superhero movies. So like, this guy got in where he fit in.
Like, so what's the, like, gender flip version? Like a woman having sex with a baseball or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's... sporting equipment? Or we always get, are people already have that when, like, women do anything with, like, macho stuff. They're like, oh, have you seen the one chick who has the 9,000 guns and the big butt?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess maybe add sex to anything and Jack, we're Cedric fucking up, man.
Cedric Lorenzen.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do this rest of the podcast naked.
This is giving me some good ideas for the Daily Zeitgeist refresh.
That's my new cold brew name. Yeah. When I am drinking cold brew, I am named Cedric Lorenzen. And if anyone addresses me differently, I will squirt them with
with coconut juice.
Creme fraiche.
I mean, as always, a classic all-time search history.
You got to watch the one, though, where he makes the chocolate drink because he's acting so macho. He's like sniffing absolute vodka. And he does that thing where you make a triangle underneath your mouth and do the tongue thing like that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He goes. Yeah. It's like real
he's got
quick.
Like some very like some of his. Very straightforward interpretations of sexuality. There's nothing subtle quick. Happening.
Dude, this guy's a virgin. He's a fucking virgin.
I think he's like...
This guy's a virgin.
He reminds me of that guy. Who's that guy, that soccer player? No, ex-UFC guy was now in jail in Croatia or whatever his name was. Alex.
Andrew.
You know what I'm talking about.
Andrew Tate.
Yeah. He looks like, he's a kick... Like, yeah, yeah.
Right. Andrew Tate was definitely like, man, this guy's got his shit together.
Yeah. He's the Andrew Tate of fucking food.
He thinks he's tough.
Look, he's found the Venn diagram is if you like to eat and you like hard abs, you pull up to Cedric Lorenzen's page and you got it all.
Yeah.
I just mean that there's a lot of women who are like, now this is what a real man does. But a real, I mean, it's like, I don't, you know, real men are asleep on the couch.
Real men are disinterested in everything and emotionally unavailable.
I just think, I don't know. I don't know what I think. I feel now. I feel completely. I'm all fucked.
I'm impressed by this guy's bit. I think he's got a good angle.
I'm impressed by it. I like that his first post. Like if you scroll all the way back, whoa! This
what
hold
is
on?
It?
This is his first post. It's him and a baby kangaroo, and it says, "Come here, cunt."
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is this guy? This is his first page.
That's not him, is it? That's a 12-year-old.
I think it might be him as a baby or some shit.
Oh, he's like a 20-year-old. And so first, oh no. It's like anyway, Throwback Thursday.
5 years ago. Anyway, shout out to Cedric Lorenzen.
Cedric Lorenzen.
True hero.
Fucking
the modern
idiot.
World.
Chris, you got to start. You need to do a fucking counter account where it's you doing sexy cold brews.
There you go.
Yeah, or like putting like, yeah, like it's so stupid. It's like, this is so obvious. Like, I don't even know how to, it's like if, yeah, like my version of the account would be like filling like a trombone with whipped cream or something. You know, like, just like putting cherries in like a sewer pipe and being like, get it?
I mean, you're going to sit here and tell me that your interest in mudlarking wasn't erotic at all? Come on.
No, except for like sometimes they do find sex stuff in the mud.
Yeah, of course. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Chris just took a big swig of what I have to assume is cold brew.
Oh, yeah. It's my brand. I got my own brand now.
Yeah.
Cedric Lorenzen.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated, Chris?
Overrated is, now this is sort of a serious one a little bit. Just overrated is being sort of being arch, being ironic. Mm. Being over it.
Mm.
Wait, this was you for a long time, Chris.
What's that?
Said this was you for a long time.
I'm not saying I've accomplished this. I'm saying this is something we could aspire to.
Wait, so what do you mean by this? Like, just someone who's just got just completely like nothing moves them. Everything's like whatever.
Or just like being like Republicans are trying to like fucking do this. They're trying to take over Democratic legislatures, but whatever. Like, I mean, yeah. I know about it. I know it sucks.
I'm and so that's smart. This is just another Tuesday.
Yeah, like, dystopia 2.0. Or, you know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh,
like,
you haven't accepted it?
Yeah. I mean, what? Of course they are. Of course right. they are. Let's right. go get a fucking latte, though.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're even commenting on it right now actually like makes you dumb.
Yeah.
Because I've known about this for 15 years.
Two people with stainless steel refrigerators hanging off a climbing wall being like, did you hear the Republicans are taking over the legislature? Oh, hashtag, what did you think was going to happen? So I watched, let me find the name of it. I watched on Criterion Channel last night, the James Baldwin documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Called Price of the Ticket, I think it's called. And it was the most inspiring. You know, he is, if anyone doesn't know who James Baldwin is, author, African-American gay author, started writing in the 20s, first wrote about homosexuality in 55, very early. Right. It was like a big deal, but kind of like a reserved guy. Like, he grew up poor, real poor, but outspoken, and he also was a preacher when he was very young, and so his he was really eloquent when he spoke. He ended up involved in the civil rights movement. He moved to France because it was so hard to be black and gay, or just plain black in America in the 50s. So he moved to France and actually thrived, but he didn't want to be in France. He wanted to be in the United States, really, but he had to be in France because he also was like, well, in France they like us, and Maya Angelou's in the doc. This came out in 89, so it was shot on 16mm.
Mm. Oh, wow.
It's beautiful. And Maya Angelou just mentioned, she said that, you know, said it so plainly. She said in France, black Americans were safe because they didn't have any guilt about slavery in France. So the target of their resentment was not black Americans. The target of their resentment was Algerians.
Right.
Which James Baldwin identified with even back then and said, they're us. They're us in France. Like, right. I'm not blind to the fact that France is safer for me because they don't have this white hatred of black people, because black people remind whites of their own sins. That's right. Not the case in France. The people that remind France of their own sins is Algerians. Well, because the Algerians were a colony.
Yeah.
Among many other French colonies in Africa, but yes.
Yeah, and that was just, to me, that movie was inspiring in the sense that there is, like, this was, like, Martin Luther King was assassinated. I mean, this came up in the documentary because he was friends with Dr. King. He was friends with, he marched in Selma, and he was at all that stuff. And he knew Martin Luther King. He knew Malcolm X. He knew, I don't know if he knew Medgar Evers, but that stuff devastated him and made him very angry. But he never stopped being optimistic. And that was a point of people kept trying to, especially white critics, kept trying to say, oh, he's just turned into a polemicist. He's bitter. He's, since the civil rights stuff, he's just become like this propagandist and he's enraged. And he was like, I'm never. And all his friends said he was always mad. He was never bitter. He was always angry because he thought people could do better. What he talked about mostly was, unless we get together and stop all this individualism and everybody being over it and having their own little ecosystem in their head where they know this and they know that and they get all this personal pleasure from ambition and everything. He said to get where we need to be, he didn't imply that we're going to get there, but he said, we got to try. And he said, the price we have to pay is enormous to go from individual to collective, because you have to abandon all your fucking self-seeking, which is the most Americans have been sold this idea that there's nobody happier than the Marlboro man, the guy standing all by himself. Right. That guy's supposed to be the happy guy surrounded by nothing.
Just me and my steers.
Yes, and all cigarette. The fools who fell for that are the ones that are storming the Capitol being like, why do I feel like shit?
I'm alone!
Yeah, wait a minute! Yeah. Somebody did this to me! And it's like, no, fucking Daniel Boone did this to you. Fucking Marlboro Man did this to you. Capitalism trying to sell every person a toaster instead of seven people sharing one toaster.
Right.
You get everybody being the Marlboro Man, everybody needs their own toaster.
Yeah.
So Jack's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
this guy goes, I mean, that's from the fucking quote. Coconuts to James Baldwin. I love it. This is the spectrum on the show.
Jack's doing that wrap it up thing. So
thumbs up with the other hand, though. This is great stuff. But,
this is great. Let's wrap it up. James Baldwin.
Love it. Anyway, I go, if you can get to watch that, it's just about.
It sounds
like,
amazing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's inspiring in the sense that, like, I understand that this all is overwhelming and I feel the same. And I think that James Baldwin was also honest. He wasn't like, I'm doing this, I'm fixing this. He's just saying we need to try, you know. And he was serious. He was intellectual. He was not afraid to be serious. He was also funny and cool. Right. But he was also like, I'm putting myself out there because, not because I'm bitter, but the opposite. I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Right.
And so that just made me think of all this shit that's going on in Tennessee, because I'm in Tennessee now, you know. And it's like, this shit is, they're trying to roll back civil rights. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. And it was just a minute ago. So we can't let this happen. It was like Martin Luther King was assassinated 1 year before I was born.
Yeah.
I mean, I am 78 years old, but, but you know what I mean? It was a minute ago and they're already overturned the Voting Rights Act. Happening. And if you can roll your eyes and drink Pabst Blue Ribbon and stuff, but that's not helping really. And you know, I know that, and I'm the guy who did it for years. So I'm not yelling at anybody. I just thought that documentary made me want to write more and made me want to fucking speak the truth more. And he was in such danger. I'm just some fucking white guy. I mean, James Baldwin was fucking taking a chance, and he lived a long life and had a lot of beautiful friends that supported him. And anyway.
Yeah.
Ticket to ride.
There's a lot of good shit in there.
Price of the ticket, James Baldwin on Criterion, but I'm sure you can get it off, you know, YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
I think you can get it on PBS too.
Yeah, it was originally
an American
PBS,
Masters.
It's a knockout movie. I mean, it's only an hour and a half long, but I could watch it again. Because also just James Baldwin's like fucking just dealing with a guy that's smart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his quotes,
smart.
He was like a time traveler. I mean, like, it also just shows you, like you're saying, like the complexity of all of these issues we're dealing with and how they've lasted for so long. But the observations are still the same. Yeah. And, you know, how, you know, prescient a lot of his words are.
Yeah, really, truly brilliant people rarely are. They're not the ones who are smug and disconnected from the world. They're usually very engaged,
very
inspired by, and you know, not always optimistic, I guess, but just trying to like engage with the world around them. But I think you're right that there is this fashionable idea of like, that's smart and witty to just be over it and dismissive.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a way to deal with your powerlessness over it, too. Yes. And
it
just
is understandable. It is depressing.
Much easier to just be like, yeah, I know. So fucking move on.
It's really me talking to myself right now. I mean, because I'm there, you know, I'm like laying around. I mean, I might not be cynical. I never have been cynical. I've always been hopeful, but I do end up like sleeping fucking an extra 5 hours because I think about the news, you know, like, it's not easy, but I just think like the idea of like liberals is sort of, I don't know. It's just like we have to be earnest.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to know.
Well, I think it's easier for some people to be like, yeah, I know, than to really actually know.
Right.
You know, and feel it in their fucking bones. They can read a headline and like sort of, you know, intellectually understand, but then it's a whole other level of engagement to be like, that's so fucking bad that something has to be done and it needs to be talked about versus being like, oh yeah, that's a bad thing. I get that. But I don't have the energy or will to engage with it. Because it's just too much, and I totally see why.
Yo, earnestness. People are just so fucking. People are just like, because it's meme time. You know, it's internet time. Everybody's a dope. You know, I mean, it's like 2 seconds. You try and be earnest for 2 seconds, and 15 people hit you with some really funny shit. They hit you with 12 memes and make you feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
you know, and they're good. I'm not saying this post-apocalyptic sense of humor that's going on is incredible.
Yeah,
like you know, like there's a meme of like SpongeBob the. SpongeBob. But it's like a SpongeBob. Float in a parade, like a floating float, you know?
Yeah.
Floating float. What am I saying? A balloon.
It gets
like
ripped.
Like a balloon. Yeah. A floating float. Fucking cold brew bullshit. Cedric Lorenzen here. Live from the marshmallow hideout. So it said it was just, you could see the flame in the balloon. You know, it was like a hot air balloon.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. This is my life. Trying to explain things that everybody knows already what they are.
Yeah. The
and it said,
parade
No. Oh, hell no. The meme said on it, it was just a picture of that with the flame under SpongeBob. And it said, hell no. They burning SpongeBob. S-P-U-N-C-H pussy. Hell no. They burning SpongeBob's pussy. That's the funniest fucking thing. I laugh so goddamn hard at that, even though it's insane.
Yeah, just
hell nah. They burning SpongeBob's.
Sorry, how does this relate to James Baldwin again?
just like you can get caught up looking at that shit and just be like, I know everything's gone fucking crazy.
Yeah. I know what you like. There's it's very seductive. A lot of the like apocalyptic humor,
it's all gallows humor now.
It reminds me of like all these brand movies that are coming out that I'm going to love, like that are like the Air Jordan origin story, the Flamin' Hot Cheetos origin story, and they're all like good, and I'm gonna like go and be like, that's actually good, guys. It's actually really Tetris
the movie.
It's actually, you should actually check it out. Like it's a bummer, but yeah,
I want to see. I said on my tweet
mm-hmm. This is why
I have no friends.
The tweet that you do on Twitter,
I said on my tweet that I published
on Twitter,
I said that I would rather see Jen Air. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the stove, but I'd rather see the Jen Air story than
the Jen Air origin story.
Then I would, more than I'd like to see fucking Ben Affleck in another goddamn wig.
Oh man,
in Argo Part 2.
Yeah, cool.
Fucking
cool
Argo is the worst movie I ever saw in my fucking
part
life.
Two.
Should have been called Wig Store.
What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, we're doing that again? I thought underrated was out of the picture. Oh,
no
crap. Underrated. No, we were done with that. I thought that was for some reason I thought that myth is gone.
Myth is gone. Yeah.
For like a year.
Well, I took
and
up too much time
something.
Already. So why don't we just go away? Why don't we just go past that? How about the underrated
James Baldwin is underrated. There we go.
Yes.
Oh James yeah. Baldwin if you don't know, underrated. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of guy
film is underrated.
And I gotta catch up on the reading part. I have a tendency to learn about the people and not read the books. So it made me want to read James Baldwin books, you know, and see a play. They kept showing parts of this play that he put on called, it looked like the best play in the world.
Yeah.
It was like about race, and it was done by these fucking dead serious actors from the Actors Studio back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where is this seriousness? That's what I'm talking about. You see these actors and it's like, this isn't like, now it's like a Broadway play. They're like, is there enough gas in Godzilla? You know what I mean? Like, that's what's happening. Like,
the Godzilla musical does look pretty good, though. I hear it's getting good reviews off Broadway.
Is the Swiss man who's running Godzilla ready with his computers?
Well, the last time Chris was on, he recommended All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which I finally watched recently, and it is an absolute, like, mind-blowing knockout documentary. So I will confirm this recommendation.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad. That was, man, I can't name that movie to save my life still. I'm always like, all the
guts and stuff.
Everybody's mad and the
Yeah, I always want to say all the fury because of all the sound and the fury.
All the anger and the loudness.
Yeah. France. Hey, speaking of France.
Hey.
I'm glad that somebody's around, Miles, that you're back to appreciate these segues. Speaking of France.
Yeah. That was pretty seamless, though.
You probably heard of France, right?
Heard of it. Heard of it, yeah.
I was there in 1990.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you were. So there were...
I was there, man, in 90.
End of last week, there were demonstrations that saw more than a million people taking a stand against Macron's government. There were more than 200 protests across the country. 903 fires lit in the streets of Paris alone.
I love, where'd that stat come? Who's the fucking fire counter exactly?
I don't know. They got one. I love it.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, what are you at?
Where are we at here?
602. Okay, keep going. They must be real angry.
It's probably some Nepo baby doing the counting too.
Yeah.
They're like, he's undercounting the fires.
Gotta get those fires numbers
That's
up.
That's Depardieu's nephew is doing the fire counting.
But this is all due to Macron's pension reform bill, which would raise the legal age of retirement from 62 to 64, all well below what it is in the U.S. And also, we don't really have an official age of retirement in the U.S.
Absolutely. When we need to. Look at our Congress. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
It's wild because, you know, this is not for someone who's fucking 61 right now. You're like, what the fuck are you doing? Yes. You're adding three more fucking years right now. I was about to fucking cash out because, again, they have a really, really wonderful retirement system compared to the United States. And the French really have, like, it's a point of pride, but also their work-life balance is so important. I was listening to, I forget, like one of the news shows, and they were talking to the protesters on the street, and person after person was like, we really value the idea that there is a work-life balance. That is really important. And I'm like hearing that. I'm like, wow, that's a take that's only starting to gain steam in the United States of people being like militant or not necessarily militant, but like drawing a hard line like underneath this idea that I'm not going to toil and have my labor exploited till I literally collapse. There's going to be a fucking sunset to this. And the fact that he goes and wants to unilaterally do this because he did it. He completely went around a parliamentary vote and just like invoked these special powers the president has to be like, yeah, all right, pushed it through, deal with it. And now you got 903 fires.
I mean, you have to be militant because they're relentless about trying to take away the work-life balance across the world, anything that's plugged into the global economy. And I feel like this is going to be used, is being used by the mainstream media for photo ops to be like, look at this chaos. Aren't you glad you live in America, being the subtext? And I feel like the answer should be no.
No.
Look at what they're fighting for. Like, this is how you buy that. It doesn't come for free.
And it's just getting worse for older people in this country.
Oh, brutal.
Like, it's going to deteriorate much quicker. And the situation is already like, it's hard to even compare what a retiree's life looked like fucking 20 years ago and what it looks like today. Yeah. And like, you think about all the like roving people who are like, you know, like chasing the seasonal work and shit like that, living in RVs as like a way to quote retire, but still be working. And it's very,
Miles,
very
I'm sitting
grim.
Right here. You know, you don't have to.
I know.
You're making me feel, I mean, this.
I'm just trying to light a fire under you, man. Trying to light a fire under you.
I'm going to go light 903 fires today.
But I feel like, you know, there are a lot of reasons that the U.S. doesn't have a culture like this, like, you know, historical reasons, a armed police force who will kill you for damaging property. But we also have a mainstream media that treats the burning of a car or the looting of a store as the most serious crime imaginable.
Of a human life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the first thing I read that, I mean, this is some of the upside, I guess, to social media. I think the downsides, well, who cares? What am I? Just the fact that right away someone said, the reason this, you're wondering why this isn't happening in America? Because it can't happen here. Because we have police that would fucking
shoot you,
murder everybody who was lighting these fires. I mean, this would never. So they're like, I just didn't think of that because I was almost just going to go, yeah, we need to have it in America. But then someone wrote like, yeah, there's a reason why we don't have it here. You'll be kettled, tased, packaged, and frozen.
And the other thing
is
too,
we did have it in the summer of 2020. Like we had mass protests, but I think that points to another reason that we don't have a lot of organizing is because you have to be working 50, 60 hours a week to have health care in this country.
There's, you know, they also did a good job of being like, well, that's going to be the last one of those as far as the, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests.
Yeah, course,
now they're building Cop City in a 400 acre fucking war facility for the Atlanta police, you know?
Yeah.
And they're trying those kids as terrorists who are fucking. I mean, that's it. You know, like
that's how, you know, right. Because they're like, oh, you want to protest the building of like a soldier cop camp? You're a terrorist.
Yeah. Huh?
And I mean, this like the other thing, too, is because of the size of France, it's easier for a bunch of people to converge on the capital.
I didn't
like,
think that either. Like, I was operating right until you just said that.
Thank God. There's a lot of difference. Like, we're just so spread out. It's just, you know, you have to go to maybe your capital, things like that. But all that to say is, yes, it's much, much different. And, you know, like I've seen there have been like critical, like very non-critical analysis. They're like, wow, people really don't like Macron, huh? I wonder if that's going to be good for like the right and like Marie Le Pen and like the far right. This is a labor-led movement and it has fuck all to do with the far right. They have fuck all to energizing people in terms of like this terrible reform that is about to hit the books. And it's just wild because it was so like the second it was mentioned, 60 to like around 70% of people that were polled were like, I'm so fucking against what you just said right now. Do not want it. Like, what are you talking about? There's a deficit of some whatever billion. And most people are like, why don't you fucking tax the wealthy to address this fucking deficit? Instead, you're just saying, no, put them to work longer because I mean, there is money we could probably find, but we're not going to do the thing that would like ask people who have more to put in their fair share. So people who are like doing manual labor or women or low wage workers aren't going to really bear the brunt of this fucked up reform. Yeah. And the unions are not letting up either. They've basically like, you know, they're like 30% of the flights into Paris have been like canceled. The railroads are like half working. And they're calling for another mass protest on Tuesday because this is the one way they feel that they can actually pressure like the government in France to do something, because they successfully did that in 2006. There were these like reforms that were going to go into effect that was aimed at young workers because youth unemployment was so high. But employers were like, we'd hire more young people, but like all the labor protections you have for workers makes it harder to just fucking fire a young person. And that's why we don't hire them. And the government's like, fuck it. We'll take away those protections. You can fire them as much as you want.
Yeah.
And they're like, is that good? They fucking took the streets, like the unions fucking weren't fucking around. And eventually then President Jacques Chirac like relented and got the fucking message. And I think that's why, too, you see these protests are going to continue, because I think the only other route is like the equivalent of the French Supreme Court looking at how this was done. And they'll probably, I don't know, I don't think they'd be too friendly to the way Macron did this, because it was such a specific, it was like tied to a specific bill, yet had the most significant reforms that would reverberate through the nation.
I just couldn't believe that. When I heard that there was like a way to bypass Parliament, like what the?
Yeah.
Well, then what?
Fuck is that for?
That's Parliament's just set dressing. I mean, unless you know, I mean, they were just like, yeah, Macron can't pass this,
yeah,
and it's not popular, so he's just going to use the
emergency votes,
whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, double. I mean,
America has that with the presidential, like the.
Yeah, we can go do. We can drop bang bangs on anyone.
Yeah,
it was insane to me. I just said that's so crazy.
But that is the reason why people are so energized, is because it was done in such a like just I am the one who's going to push this through, like, you know, as the, you know, God King. A lot of his supporters, too, are like wealthier, older people. and who are might not be as like tethered to the reality of what it's like to work every day.
You forgot about provision 69X.
That's right. Give me
Did
the
code.
Did you
codes. Forget about that? Where something that everybody doesn't want still happens?
Yeah.
Provision 69X is a great adult film. The amount of money that the New York Times must be spending right now looking for a French protester who voted for Trump, like, has to be like
right.
40% of their editorial budget.
I'm fighting Macron, but this is why I voted for Trump.
I like that. Daily Zeitgeist going for fuck going after New York Times. It's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been going easy on him for too long. I let my relationship with Maggie Haberman cloud things a little too much.
Yeah.
You know?
She's, oh, yeah, she's good. Maggie's a friend. Maggie's a friend.
Starting to see the light. Yeah.
She's doing a great job on the Trump beat.
Sure to friend of the show, Maggie Haberman.
Friend
said,
of the show, Maggie Haberman.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Miles, you finally
have an announcement. Yeah.
Yeah.
I found common ground with Melania Trump.
You've been looking for a way to connect with her for a while. Just
yeah.
Like
first, it was like
the spiritually.
Yeah. Philosophically, everything. I mean, that jacket that was like, I don't really care. Do you? I was like, you know what? I like that. I like, you know,
nah, fucking, yeah. I care. Damn.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
so close.
Fuck. You almost had me, Melania. But things are seemingly not going great for the Trump family. And I say seemingly because it seems like he might go to jail, but
we don't know.
But we just don't know what will happen. And all we hear now is about how Donald Trump is angry and paranoid about his legal troubles, or how he recently threatened more chaos on Kroger Twitter that like he was yelling at on Friday night, 1 a.m. He goes, what kind of person can change and what kind of person can charge another person, in this case, a former president of the United States, who got more votes than any sitting president in history and leading candidate by far for the Republican Party nomination? What a fucking sentence this is, with a crime when it is known by all that no crime has been committed. And
there may
also
be a nationwide Adderall shortage, but there's not one in Mar-a-Lago. I will tell you that much.
And then he says, and
this
also
is causing the nationwide Adderall shortage. This rant.
And it's also known that potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for our country.
Yeah.
So here he goes.
Posted a picture with a baseball bat, I believe.
He's trying to slow motion ramp up some kind of MAGA jailbreak riot. But while all that's going on, I wanted to check in with his wife and son. First up, I just want to say, I saw a picture of Barron Trump this week. This motherfucker needs to be hooping.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's 6 foot seven now.
Six foot, from reports.
8 foot bunch.
How about if he is the hoop?
All right. Make a hoop with your arms, Barron. Yeah, right there. Bank shot off your face, you fucking goof. No, but I mean, he is so tall. Every time I see him, I feel like I'm checking in with someone else's kid. I'm like, look at man. Oh, man, you're playing basketball, Barron. Like, what the fuck's going on? But Melania, this is the important thing. She's doing what many of us have been doing the last 3 years or so, which is completely disengaging from reality because it's just so shit. This is from People Magazine, this new exclusive quote. She remains angry and doesn't want to hear the alleged hush money payment mentioned.
Oh, she's aware of who her. Think about that. This is bringing the Stormy stuff back. He's gotta be like, my damn marriage. Come on, guys.
Remember 4 months after Barron was born? I had that affair. Anyway, he's 6'7". Quote, she is aware of her husband and who he is and keeps her life upbeat with her own family and a few close friends.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, what else?
Quote, she started a lifestyle influencer like blog just about how to keep a positive frame of mind.
Yeah, it says goop with one O missing. And then she goes on to say, quote, Melania is leading her own life and still feels happy being at Mar-a-Lago, surrounded by people who love her and who never talk about reality or bad things about her husband. I just love the quote that they say, who never talk about reality. I'm holding on to that. And it reminds me like, yeah, sometimes you get in those zones. You're like, we're not talking about reality today.
Yeah. I hope it's a stated policy.
No reality
free zone. Yeah.
That's
all spin zone.
For rich people, that is a very slight adjustment.
Right. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that is
the
like
the structure was in place.
I don't think that's a quote that would come from the actual rich person because they have no concept of reality, that it wouldn't be like, hey, let's not talk about reality.
Yeah, these
that
are
sounds
her
like the perspective
like
of someone who isn't like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Well,
no, I mean,
they're like,
she's,
oh, yeah, they don't talk about reality in there.
I mean, imagine being her friend, though. Just like imagine that by itself. Like, just no matter what you were allowed to talk about. What the fuck are you doing with your life? Are you crazy? Like, you know what kind of crazy person is hanging around with Melania Trump? Imagine the self-esteem
the
problems. Fans?
Oh, my God.
God
or,
damn.
Or like the politics of being one of her sycophants, where like one person starts doing that reality talk and they're like, we got to get rid of Deborah.
Deborah is
she's a fucking loose
out
cannon.
Of control.
I think that's she's like, off her meds or something. She
like
brought up Donald.
Ex-girlfriend was in a book club and like all the women in the book club wanted this one hot lady to be in it, but she didn't read books. So they like put her in it anyway. And they're just like, you can just be here to talk about whatever.
You know? Yeah. You talk about like what our
like they
conversation
just let her in and they're like,
you
she's smart
of.
In other ways.
Right.
Yeah. But she doesn't have anything relevant to say about the book you all read for the meeting.
No,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. We want her here anyway. She's a genius. Like, that's the other thing. They'll go way on the other direction. She's actually a genius. That's why she can't read.
Yeah.
It's just too much. She's already got so much reading in her head just naturally.
You know, a part of me is like, I was like, oh, that must suck for her. But I think at the end of it, I'm like, no, you chose your life. Okay. And this is the one you've chosen to live. But on some level, like, I get it, especially the part like she knows who she's with, yet she's still in this. It reminds me of like, I dated somebody who, like, knowingly dated somebody who brought untold amounts of chaos into my life.
I'm just dying.
Like,
yeah.
And I was willingly there. Like, it was either fucking trying to get me caught up in fist fights because the mouth was just way too spicy. Like, oh, yeah, well, he about to fuck you and your homeboy up. I'm like,
And you're like, this is love.
I'm like, no, but you're a D1 athlete, and that was new for me, and I love the story. And also, your favorite movie was also Belly by Hype Williams. So I felt like we're there. And then, and I just remember, like, there was so much stuff going on, and I stuck around until one day they called me because she crashed her car on, like, PCH, because she was on Molly and she was with a homeboy who like did a like a G move and like put her in the passenger seat. So when the cops pulled up, he was there and then he was fucked up, but he was on probie. So they arrested him and she called me. She's like, you got to come get me. Like, I don't know what happened. This was after like a week where I was like, you're putting me through too much. And I did the Melania thing. I went and saw Attack of the Clones with my mother. Right after I hung up the phone, I went to my mom. I said, can we go see Attack of the Clones? We went to go see that shit. So that was my version of not talking about reality, because my mom did not know I was dating person. And she was like, you
Yeah, rich people don't like any reality anyway. And then, yeah, they probably just talk about, you know, with Melania, it's probably the usual stuff, you know, like, how's your lobster, Melania? How's your lobster, Melania? You know, Melania's like, it's pretty good. It's not as good as yesterday, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you got the... Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, like I was at lobster yesterday. It was pretty good, but
I love your bag. I love your bag, Melania.
Oh my god, yeah, where'd you get that bag?
I love your bag.
Oh, I love the internet.
The internet.
So I did a stand-up show in Malibu. I hosted a stand-up show in Malibu for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And those people, man, they don't want to know about fucking shit. Whether or not they're married to Donald Trump and whether he paid off a porn star, they don't want to hear about a damn thing.
Yeah,
I don't like what kills. Like, what would have killed with that Malibu?
They think they like comedy. That's the funniest thing. Like, oh, I love comedy. I love it. And then they immediately, when the show starts, start talking like really loudly and don't pay attention to it at all. And then they also, when they do listen to it, they think comedy is, I don't know what they think it's supposed to be, but they can't stand when it's about stuff at all. Like anything in the news, they're like, this is depressing. No one wants to hear about this.
Yeah. Right.
So they hate comedy. I don't know where they think the tension in comedy would come from if you just did what they like, which would be like, I don't know what, like people who have big boats rule. Like, isn't it the worst when you're christening your boat and you fall off, your pants fall off or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know what they want.
First word, what else, followed by a where are you from, sir?
What else?
But, but my favorite is that they, before the show, seriously are like, I love comedy. I love to laugh.
Comedy. I love it. Comedy.
And the first time you're like,
Oh, I can't afford a house. What the fuck? Anybody else? They're like, what is he talking about? They're like, he's grossing me out.
This is not comedy. Well, they just decide it's not comedy and there's some other kind of comedy that they would like. Yeah. That's all it has. Right.
I don't know. It bummed me out a little bit.
Yeah. Bummed me out.
I can't even.
I don't like this reality-based comedy.
Reference to anything about anything that would lead to something funny they hate, and they just want you to make fun of poor people, basically.
Talk about how cheap those Tory Burch slides look on people.
Yeah, it's something they want you to bully. They want you to all they think is funny.
Punching
is
down.
All they think is funny is bullying.
Yeah. Well, Chris, as always, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, read you, all that good stuff?
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I love it always. So you can find me at The Crofton Show on Twitter and on Instagram.
There it is.
And Cold Brew Got Me Like is on Instagram, you know, probably for the rest of eternity. And then it's going to be on my gravestone. And and then you can also read my book, The Advice King Anthology, which I'm starting to record the audiobook finally this week, or coming week. And you can also listen to my record, Hello, It's Me, which... is on all the fucking platforms. Hey, oh, and Cold Brew Got Me Like, our show.
Yeah.
We have a Cold Brew sponsor now, and the last show was about Larry Summers. So we're getting like, we're kind of talking about some serious shit, and in addition to just talking about like the band Survivor.
Yeah.
It's like part Billy Squire, part serious.
And you guys are fans of Larry Summers, right? That guy rules.
Oh yeah, he's always done a good job, I think.
He's the GOAT.
Inventing crises and then talking about them and how to solve them.
Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying, Chris?
Yes. I did it. I fucking picked out the thing ahead of time.
Hell yeah.
For once. This guy, his name is @FuneralPig.
Oh, man.
And his name is Worgen. @FuneralPig is his handle. And this is his tweet. My men are shooting fire arrows into the thatched roofs of your village right now, Playboy.
Miles, where can people find you? And what is a work of media you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, @MilesOfGray. Check Jack and I out on Miles and Jack. and sometimes Miles, and I before E, except after C got mad. Boosties! And also, check me out on 420 Day Fiancé. We are coming back soon. I'm talking about Love is Blind, I think. And maybe the other way. Anyway, a tweet I like is actually from the show Las Culturistas at Las Culturistas. Quote tweeted this tweet from Gold Derby that said, quote, a hashtag Emmys spotlight. Bowen Yang is hilarious, heartbreaking, and deserving of recognition. And the quote tweet just said, yeah, sure, why not?
that's the way to respond to that.
Yeah, love sure, it. Why not? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. I really enjoy this genre of tweets where people just screen cap Elon Musk, like tweeting something and then his sycophants responding to it. Mr. Too Damn Chris tweeted a screen cap of Hakeem Jeffries said, House Dems are fighting hard for the American people. Right-wing extremists are fighting each other. And Elon Musk responded, that's what she said. And Jeff Curry tweeted, one of the best comebacks ever, crying laughing emoji.
This. Why?
One of the best comebacks ever, sir.
It's like Peter Thiel fucking, or Peter Thiel fucking, you know, the guy who's most powerful in Tennessee politics, his dad owned a car dealership. And he sold the land for so much that he's like the biggest power player in national politics. So that's because that's how our politics work, is the guy who owns the biggest car dealership, the guy who invented PayPal, or this fucking fool.
Yeah.
Fool. Elon Musk's jokes are below fifth grade level. They are moron. Yeah. He's a moron. I don't care.
That one didn't even make sense.
He's a freaking teenage boy freak. And best he's got ever, so sir. Much money.
That's and the best comeback ever, Chris.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, does our political system has to get the money out of it? The guy with the biggest car dealership?
Chris, he could like buy and sell you a million times.
Oh, I'm dead. So. I'm dead. They're going to kill me with a drone.
Dude, he could have you killed by a drone and
they're
going to
take me out. And you just remember.
Yeah.
Why?
And that's
but
cool,
you just
that's
remember cool. where you're going to buy your next GMC truck.
Yeah.
I'm serious. His dad, you know, parking lots are big. So he sold it for like $110 million. And now it's like you can't do any legislation in Tennessee without running it by this guy Beeman.
Yeah.
From Beeman Toyota.
Beeman. Willie Beeman.
What a system.
Steaming Willie Beeman.
And we got the world's richest man saying that's what she said.
Yeah. But it's funny.
Hey, I get it. Melania.
It's funny when he says it.
Let's link up, Melania. Fuck reality. Fuck that's it all. Let's watch some James Baldwin documentary.
How's the shrimp? It's okay. It's okay.
I eat the tails, you know. I know.
The tails know. Are good. Oh, yes. Everyone eats the tails, Melania. Everyone, don't worry about it.
You know what? Oh, Deb, you're not eating your tails. They're giving to me.
Oh, yeah. Let me have the tails. I love tails. Really we're coming to get the, let me get out of the garbage. I love getting the tails calcium, out of the garbage. I love you.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is like a beat by Dorian Concept that's pretty cool. I liked it because it sounds like, because I have so much baby noises going on in my house, it sounds like a almost like chopped up baby vocal sample, but it's like played on a keyboard. It's the beats is kind of cool. It's a nice, you know, texture to have. But this is Dorian Concept, and the track is called You're Untouchable.
Babies are underrated vocalists. I mean, it's hard to get them in the studio for,
I mean, think about
legal
who's the most famous baby on a track?
That Aaliyah song, the little laughing baby. Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
There's also that kid, Jordy, the French kid. If you don't think the French are ahead of
I remember I used to gibberish sing that shit with my friend all the time. And
me too.
My mom fucking got so annoyed by it. I remember she like lost it in the car when me and my friend were screaming it. We're like, and she was just like, just fucking stop.
Is that
it.
A Jordy deep cut? That's not the one I'm even familiar with.
You got that coming up on the horizon.
Oh, man. I know. Oh, God.
Well, congratulations, luckily, Miles Gray.
Thank
you. Congratulations.
The child only knows Wu-Tang. and Her Majesty is a little
bit one of those dads.
That's what I keep telling her, and she hates when I say that.
Wu-Tang is for the children?
Yeah, because off rip, I just put on fucking Triumph.
Yeah.
Which I thought y'all wasn't going to see me. And blasting it when I'm changing the baby's diaper. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Wu-Tang is for the children.
She's like, this bit has gone far enough.
Yeah.
She just told me with her eyes she wants a Wu-Tang tattoo.
Inspector Deck is so underrated. And the baby will know that. The baby will know this.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Thank you.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.